Welcome to the Sportscast, October 10th, 2018. If you haven't yet, please subscribe on YouTube and iTunes. Please follow us on Periscope. And if you're on iTunes, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. Alabama. They scored more than 60 points in their win against Arkansas. Are they really the best, or are they just haven't faced anyone with difficulty? And here to discuss is Justin Riley. Welcome to the Sportscast.
Man, great to be back again. Thanks for having me. Excited about another week.
Well, Alabama had one heck of a game. They scored more than 60 points. They beat Arkansas 65-31. Tua Tagovailoa had 334 yards, and Jalen Hurts had 59 yards. Justin Riley, is this going to continue?
Well, I would like to think so, but Alabama has yet to be tested. I still think we're a work in progress. I still think there's a lot to be seen from this Crimson Tide team that is outperforming, well, everybody. They definitely outperformed the score that I expected from the previous week's predictions. I didn't think they were going to eclipse the 50-point mark, but yet again, they apparently don't care what I think and scored 65. Right now, the only thing that's really going to slow Alabama down is themselves and complacency. As I was watching the game, the commentator, Greg McElroy, former Alabama quarterback, was talking about the possibility of maybe the players, mainly on the defensive side of the ball, becoming bored or complacent. And that may be the case, but that can be very dangerous too. If you go in there with the mindset of this is too easy or we'll just coast, that's when a team that you're sleeping on can wake up and do some damage to you. But fortunately for us, the offense has not been complacent. Matter of fact, anything but. They have been just on fire. As we discussed earlier, Tagovailoa was 10 of 13 for 334 yards and four touchdowns. And get this, folks, that was only through two quarters of play. Are you kidding me? Who does that other than on video games? And then, as Santiago mentioned earlier, Jalen Hurts came in relief and was able to go through the majority of the second half with Mac Jones serving with wrap-up duty, as it were. Really amazing also to see that Jalen Hurts and Tagovailoa had some packages made to have both of them on the field at the same time. Had Jalen running some wildcat with Tagovailoa out wide, and then the reverse, Tagovailoa in the center with Jalen Hurts out wide at wide receiver, which if you watch Arkansas's body language, their players are very confused and weren't quite sure what to expect. This is something to be excited about for a possible plays in the future involving both quarterbacks. So pretty excited as to what may come about when it comes to that. Another thing that I got excited about, Damian Harris finally showed up and had 15 carries for 111 yards, two touchdowns. As you know, at Alabama, we are a running back by committee offense, but Damian Harris has been the leader of that offense. But this year really hasn't produced, and maybe causing some people to question whether or not he should have come back for his senior year because he would have been drafted quite high in this past NFL draft. But nonetheless, he's back this year and had a great game against Arkansas. Majority of his carries and the gains were achieved in the second half of play. As you know, in the first half of play, it was the Tagovailoa air show. And contributing to the air show was Jerry Jeudy. Had four receptions. Get this, folks. Only four receptions for 135 yards and two touchdowns. That's just unbelievable. And then Irv Smith Jr., two receptions for 123 yards and one touchdowns. Man, just amazing output from the offense. Defensively, Dylan Moses led all tacklers with 10 tackles. Deontay Thompson had 9 tackles and one huge, big pass breakup that kind of silenced a last effort attempt by Arkansas to try to get back into the game. And Shaheen Carter had 5 tackles with a pick 6 late in the game. But really what was disturbing about the defense in this game, they looked like they were playing bored. They looked like they were playing out of sorts. They had several busted coverages. They really weren't staying on the receivers, the tight or the tight end for that matter. Matter of fact, also too up front, that running back for Arkansas was getting some huge holes, huge gains. Really kind of concerning going into this week against Missouri. Another thing of note, our top defensive back was lost for several weeks due to a broken foot. So that's a question. And we're already thin at defensive back as well as linebacker. We're going to be inserting Savion Smith in that role to try to hopefully get something together defensively. Defense is really not really showing very much since the Ole Miss game. They were able to shut down Ole Miss pretty convincingly, mainly those 3 big receivers. But since then, they seem to be giving up a little bit more. And with Trayvon Diggs going down at corner, it kind of makes you wonder what's going to happen. And it couldn't come at a worse time with Missouri waiting in the wings.
Yeah, Missouri is the is this weekend's game. How do you see that game? I think I've been hearing that it's not a bad Missouri, but what are your thoughts about them?
And it's definitely not a bad Missouri team. I don't look at their record, and definitely don't look at this previous game against South Carolina. It was just a completely crazy game. I mean, they were playing majority of the game in a torrential downpour. As well as from what I understand, the game had to be stopped and started. So it was just a really, really difficult game to play with South Carolina edging them out in the end. Missouri is 3-2. They start off 3-0 with some pretty big wins. But as soon as they hit SEC play, that's where their luck ran out. They're 0-2 right now in SEC play. Matter of fact, Missouri is actually reeling right now. They're having a really difficult time on offense with injuries. Their top wide receiver, Emmanuel Hall, very unlikely to play due to a groin injury. Wide receiver Nate Brown may or may not be back. This is after suffering the same injury. And then their third receiver, Richard Floyd, might play. This is after suffering a broken foot during the preseason. They do boast a strong ground game. It's not just the Drew Lock show, but a run back by committee offense here at the tailback position, 286 yards and 3 touchdowns against South Carolina. Another thing of note, Georgia has only allowed 4 rushing touchdowns all season. 3 of those were scored on them again by Missouri. So that's something to think about. Definitely something the Tide need to be concentrating on going into this game. And as I mentioned earlier, Drew Lock is their star under center, potential first round draft pick. He so far is 118 of 197 with 1,487 yards, 11 touchdowns, and only 4 interceptions. Reason he's drawing so much acclaim is last season, get this, folks, he passed for 3,964 yards with 44 touchdowns. You didn't misunderstand me. 44 touchdowns and 11 interceptions. This season so far, he's had some pretty big games, 398 yards, 4 TDs against Wyoming, and against Purdue had 375 yards and 3 touchdowns. His season low was against South Carolina's previous week, 204 yards with no touchdowns. And like I mentioned, in the backfield, we've got Larry Roundtree and Demaria Crockett, the two-headed monster back there. Very strong, very good. So definitely need to keep a watch on them. But also, too, like I said, with our secondary being suspect right now, we definitely got to tighten up against arguably one of the best quarterbacks in the SEC. Probably one of the least talked about right now, mainly I think because of his supporting cast or lack thereof. Missouri is scoring 39 points per game, but they're also allowing 28 points per game. They do average 530 yards of offense per game, which is understandable given who they have at quarterback. And then that ground game I was mentioning earlier, they are giving up 284 yards passing per game and only 107 rushing yards. So again, right now, the Bama passing game is very strong. I mean, you know, they're averaging 345 yards passing per game and rushing 222 yards per game. So, judging by the stats, it falls into Bama's hands offensively, because right now that is the strong suit. So, this is definitely going to be a test for Alabama. The good thing is we're at home. Another good thing is that, Missouri is having a hard time right now keeping people healthy, especially on that offense. I mean, they have all three receivers, out just about, with the exception of one maybe coming back. So, it's going to be an interesting challenge for Alabama.
Yeah, it will be. Missouri, the previous losses was against South Carolina. They lost by 2 points to the Gamecocks, 37-35. And they lost to Georgia, 43-29. So they had two consecutive losses against two good teams. So I think, you know, Alabama, you know, should look at, you know, both these games of how their opponents struggled or how their opponents achieved their win. But I think they're able to accomplish the mission, and you know, especially when they're home, so things should be at their grasp. Now let's go over last week's games. Let's go over the LSU game against Florida, where Florida beat LSU 27-19. Did we see the end of LSU, or you think, hey, this is just a rivalry game and, you know, things just didn't pan out for LSU?
Well, going into that game, you had several experts actually predicting Florida to pull the upset. For one, I was surprised because up until this point of the season, Florida really hasn't shown me a whole lot when it came to offensive output, especially at quarterback. I still am not really a big fan of Franks. I still don't think that he's the guy or the one to get it done. But then again, what does Florida have other than him? We don't really know. I thought LSU had a huge advantage, especially on the defensive side of the ball. I just thought the defense was going to be way too much for Florida to generate enough offense in order to keep up with LSU. Now, I guess some of that home cooking, man, got the Gators fired up along with the honoring of Tim Tebow there.
That was a plus.
Got them going as well. Oh, man, just absolutely. But Florida stepped it up to another level. It's like something woke up inside of them that hadn't been there previously. Caused LSU to make some mistakes. Kind of limited them in ways. Just was really surprised to see LSU respond that way. And going into the game, as well as all season, if you recall my previous podcast, I wasn't quite sold on LSU just yet. Now, am I quite sold that they're done? No, not necessarily. I think you're really going to find out what LSU is about this weekend as they take on the Georgia Bulldogs.
Yeah, that's a big match, and that's something that that we will be talking about. We'll be talking about it for the predictions But everyone's looking at that Baton Rouge game as well, Alabama and LSU. So no matter what happens with Georgia.
Right. I mean, absolutely. I forget what you saw this past weekend to an extent, but that the Baton Rouge showdown against Alabama is still going to be the tell-all for Alabama. Well, really, in both teams, really.
Yeah, because
definitely if Alabama continues to coast as they seemingly are, who knows what's going to happen against Missouri and against Tennessee. We don't know. But if it follows true to form on paper, they're not going to get their real test until LSU.
Yeah, even, especially, playing at Baton Rouge. It would be a whole different story if the game was in Tuscaloosa. But in Baton Rouge, I think that game is bigger than the Auburn game, I think.
Well, at that point in the season, it really is, because you really can't think about Auburn or what the possible outcomes are going to be until you get past LSU. I mean, and you could even classify it as the mid-season championship, because it really is. The winner of this game still controls their destiny in the SEC West, as well as the playoff picture, so on and so forth. So you really can't speak Auburn until you get past LSU.
Exactly. And another big game, another upset, Texas defeating Oklahoma 48-45. You did say that it will be a high-scoring game, but were you surprised that Texas pulled it out?
I really did. I really didn't think that they were quite at that level yet to have a big boy win like that. I thought they were improving week by week, but it still hung in my mind. They suffered that loss to Maryland, which they really shouldn't have. There's really no excuse for that. I still thought going in, Oklahoma was going to be the better team, definitely more talented team, but I thought they also were going to have a tough time against Texas, because Oklahoma was having a difficult time against previous opponents, especially against Army. But I thought that Kyler Murray and company had the advantage. And Texas proved everybody wrong, nearly lost the game, but were able to hold on with some late-game heroics and that field goal.
Let's look at the AP Top 25 poll, which I actually had it up, and then I got it up. Number one, Alabama. Two, Georgia. Three, Ohio State. Four, Clemson. Notre Dame, fifth. Six, Virginia, West Virginia. Then Washington, Penn State, Texas, and UCF. How do you see the top 10?
I think it's pretty accurate right now. I don't think there's really no argument. Of course, LSU moved down, and I think the right teams are in place. But be looking out for West Virginia to possibly make some noise, make some jumps. I think that game against Oklahoma is really going to tell us what they are about. I possibly could go either way with Notre Dame where they're at. Might even, if pushed, rank them a little bit higher, but I hesitate because Notre Dame has shown us this song and dance before, and at some point they stumble and they do something they're not supposed to, which I think the game against Pittsburgh this weekend is going to be something to watch to really see if it's the typical Notre Dame of old or has Notre Dame moved ahead.
Yeah, that is a big question. Notre Dame is definitely is favored by a lot of people, but not convinced by a lot of people as well, right in the middle of the road. Also with Ohio State, people think that they're overrated to be up there. Really surprised LSU dropped to 13th. I think it was really low. I think they could have been a ninth, perhaps.
I think that. I think that's a little too harsh. It's not like they lost to a team that was outside the top 25 or a team that was had a bad record. It's Florida was at home, but there's still a lot of ground that they can gain from here out. So you can't really dwell on that too long.
Yeah, definitely with their schedule. I mean, if they win it out, I mean, they could definitely make it in the top five at least.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, or higher.
Yeah, I mean, exactly.
They have Georgia this weekend. They got Georgia this weekend, and they got Alabama. So
yeah, those two top dogs, and it's, which will lead us to the to predictions. Ready?
Absolutely.
Let's start off with Georgia at LSU.
I think, like we talked about earlier, this is going to be the measuring stick with both teams. Is LSU the team we thought they were when they were getting quality victories early in the season? Or were they just a pretender? They knock off a big Georgia team. It's a pretty big deal. Georgia right now, we're going to find out what they're really all about. How strong are they? This is their first real test of the season. I think it's going to be a solid game for the majority of the game. This is the time that Joe Burrow needs to put up or shut up. This is a real opportunity, a perfect stage for him to step up and take control of that team. Because to be honest with you, he's going to have to. I think that Nick Brissett and company are going to have a hard time running against this Georgia offense. So LSU is going to have to beat Georgia through the air. And they have good receivers and that are capable of possibly doing it. But is Joe Burrow going to be the man that does that? Does this? Now, I just think that UGA is just too talented, man. That backfield of theirs, two-headed monster, Elijah Holyfield and DeAndre Smith, man, probably one of the best backfields in the country right now. I think LSU is going to have a hard time stopping them. They may stop them early, but Georgia is very balanced. They don't just have to run the ball against you. They can toss it. Jake Fromm is having a good year. He's putting up some mid-range numbers, but he really hadn't been asked to put up the big numbers just yet. And I like their wideout, especially Riley Ridley, who's averaging 11.9 yards per catch with four TDs, a really good receiver, very talented. Older brother, Calvin Ridley, very familiar with him, playing for Atlanta Falcons right now and is showing out. But I do think that the Tigers are going to drop two in a row. I think Georgia's going to win this one.
Georgia wins. I think this will be LSU's second hardest game. The first one will be Alabama, but it's interesting how they're receiving both teams at their house, you know? So it's definitely a fair game. You can't beat that, you know? The top two teams in the SEC and the country coming to your home, you cannot have excuses. You can win this.
No, absolutely. Home field advantage is big, especially when your home field is Baton Rouge.
I'm so fascinated with LSU this year. I don't know what it is because they were underrated. They beat Miami, had a good opener. They had, you know, came back with a bang. They beat Auburn. So, you know, there's a lot of exciting things happening with them. But anyways, next game, Michigan at Wisconsin.
The winner will be the team that gets the 20 points first.
There you have it.
And I say that just because neither team are really putting up, you know, huge offensive stats this year. Hornibrook for Wisconsin, if you look at his stats, not too exciting. I think he's only got 980-something yards passing. The real star of that offense, as everybody knows, is Jonathan Taylor. He's got 849 yards, 8 touchdowns, so they're going to be relying heavily on him. And Michigan on the other side, too, they're just not generating a whole lot of offense either, especially with heavily praised Shea Patterson coming into the season. It's like I said, unless we see something different, it's not going to be a huge offensive game. I think it's going to be one of those old school one in the trenches type things. And if it comes to that, I think that Wisconsin is going to win with Jonathan Taylor carrying them.
Okay, and I'll go for Michigan. We'll see if they can go far. And let's go Florida at Vanderbilt.
Florida at Vanderbilt. First of all, Nashville is a great city, one of the best cities in the United States. A lot of fun. Also a tricky place to play. The record may never indicate it with Vanderbilt, but Vanderbilt has always been a tough, gritty, feisty team, and they always seem to give everyone all they got, which I think is going to be a factor coming this game, because Florida just won a huge game, very emotional game. So it's going to be hard for them to kind of bounce back with the same intensity. So I think it's going to be relatively tough for the Gators, probably for the majority of the first half and part of the second. However, I think the Gators are going to pull out the win.
Yeah, me too. I really think Gators have some momentum. We'll have momentum, especially after the LSU game. So I'll probably give it to Florida. Nashville might be a tough place, but they can handle it. Missouri at Alabama.
Well, you heard my talk earlier about what we're looking at. This is going to be played at Bryant Denny Stadium, and it is going to be homecoming. So two things in our favor. Biggest thing in our favor, Tua Tagovailoa. can't argue that fact right now. Probably the best quarterback in the nation.
Ooh,
or one of the
bold
top
statement.
Two, top two, one of the
bold statement.
Or one of the top two. Yeah, bold statement. I know.
And but, which he's not eligible to the NFL until next year.
Right. He's just a sophomore, so don't push him to the NFL yet, Santiago.
I want him.
I think it's going to be an interesting game to watch. I think Bama's going to have a test. I think they're going to have a challenge for the majority of the first half, and I think some points are really going to be scored, unless Alabama can show me something defensively, mainly in the secondary. The secondary right now is the weak point. And if the secondary isn't slowing down receivers or locking them down, it's going to be hard for our talented defensive front to get that penetration and take the quarterback out. So that being said, I think Alabama's going to win. I think they'll score 45 to 50 points again, but it's going to be a shootout.
You think so?
I do.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I really do. I mean, because we're playing against one of the best quarterbacks in the nation, probably at least talked about, and reasons were given earlier. One of the things that's also in our favor, like I mentioned earlier, is the fact that their receiving core is banged up. So that's going to play to our advantage unless some of these young guys show something we don't expect. But I did look for Alabama to win, and I look for them to eventually pull away in the second half.
I'm going to say Alabama for sure. No doubt on that. And then probably the biggest game in college football this weekend, I believe, the Washington Huskies at the Oregon Ducks.
I wouldn't say the biggest game. I would say one of the two biggest games. I think the biggest game of the weekend is LSU versus Georgia.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Correct me.
However.
Yeah, please correct me. Yes, you're right. That one's bigger. I'm sorry. I was talking to Tyler too much, and he convinced me the Pac-12 game was
that's
bigger.
That's okay, man. That's why I am your SEC guy that gets you back down to earth and reminds you of, what football is really all about.
I will say this. SEC is the best conference in the country, so I'll blurb that out.
I'm just trying to have a little fun. No, it's definitely a big game. And I think Oregon is definitely one of the most exciting teams to watch with Herbert back there, quarterback. Definitely going to be an NFL talent. And will be first round, barring something crazy happening. I don't think that Washington has enough to beat Oregon. Washington doesn't show up in the big games. And I'm sorry, but, you know, although Browning has been highly touted, he doesn't show up in big games. However, his counterpart for Oregon does. So I like Oregon to win this game.
Oregon Ducks wins it, maybe go back up in the running, but and maybe take over the Pac-12 North. We'll see. I pick Oregon as well. I think this is the time to bounce back. This is a rivalry game, so they should win it. And that'll be one of the two games that I'll be watching this weekend for sure. Let's go NFL. Eagles at the Giants.
Well, it's an interesting game for both teams. Giants right now are really upset with where they are right now. They were certainly expecting better this season with the talent they had and what was coming in. However, they record wise are just not showing improvement that they had hoped for. The Eagles, they're good, but I'm just not sure if they really know who they are right now. I don't think that they're at that Super Bowl level they were last year. So I think, however, that they do have the edge and are going to win this game.
Pittsburgh at Cincinnati.
11:49. If you have two cards,
well, let's see. Ah, man.
You're at the supermarket.
That's a tough one to pick, to be honest. I am. I have to do a little bit of everything. Sorry, guys.
It's okay. He's a one man show.
I am the one man show. But Pittsburgh, I just don't like them. I just don't think that they have it together. And I think Le'Veon Bell doing the things he's doing has caused a majority of this great poisoning is going on with the offense, with the team as a whole. And I think that the sooner they deal with him, the better. The sooner they ship him out for good and say enough, Pittsburgh will improve. But I'm going to have to go with Cincinnati again, man. I think that they're a better team.
The Red Rifle gets another win. Chicago Bears at the Miami Dolphins.
You know, the thing is, I like both teams, man. I really do. And the Bears are really doing something special this year. You know, I love the Dolphins. I love what Kenyon Drake's doing. I love what Minka Fitzpatrick's doing. However, Chicago is just playing at a higher level right now. And I think that Chicago has the upper hand, especially at quarterback. And then that defense, man, that defense is just so amazing. So I'm sorry, Santiago.
Okay.
I know you're a Miami guy. and it pains me to do this, but I got to go with Chicago.
Chicago Bears it is. I choose Miami. Jacksonville Jaguars at the Dallas Cowboys.
I tell you what, man. Dallas can pick a worse time to go against Jacksonville. Jacksonville is going to be coming there playing pissed off. I'm just going to put it honestly, man. After getting beaten handily by the Chiefs, I think they're going to be out to exact some revenge and to prove a point. So, and Dallas just, man, they. They're a mess, man. I feel like their whole team needs to go to a developmentally to work on some things. Because nothing's getting done, man. And the fact that Jerry Jones and his organization, mainly him, has not gone out and solved this apparent problem at wide receiver just blows my mind. First of all, they spent way too much time dealing with Dez and his nonsense. But they never went out and got a superstar receiver. They didn't do anything in a draft for that. You know, they got some off-season acquisitions and tried to make us believe it was a great acquisition by giving them fat contracts. I mean, sorry. No, we can see right through it. Tavon Austin is not a Pro Bowl receiver. So quit trying to make us think he is. He's not. And and Zeke's not going to be able to do his thing because there's no one but him on that offense. Dak is underperforming, not because of Dak, but because he has nothing to work with. So that being said, it's obvious I got to go with the Jaguars, man. I think they bounce back after that humiliating loss. I think that that defense is going to be out to tear Dallas a new one. They're going to be motivated. They're going to be ready. I think Blake Bortles is going to have a good game. And I think T.J. Yeldon and company are going to have a good game as well. They picked up Jamal Charles, which I was very surprised at that because, to be honest with you, I'm not quite sure when the last time Jamal Charles played a game.
50 so, years ago. I'm kidding.
It may have been. Who knows? But not really sure about that, especially since they have Yeldon playing at a good level, and he's a dual threat running back, carrying the ball as well as catching it out of the backfield. And line up a receiver at times. So not really sure about that, but I ventured off to get my Alabama rant. But Jaguars win.
The Baltimore Ravens at the Tennessee Titans.
Man, you know, these are two of my favorite teams in the NFL, man. And but, you know, I'm a Ravens guy first and foremost. At the end of the day, I go for my Ravens. Tennessee has been playing better as of late, though.
Yeah, they have.
They really have, especially after that huge win they got here recently. I love Derrick Henry and what he's doing there, but Baltimore is playing at a better level, and I think that they're going to be out to prove something after that terrible loss to the Cleveland Browns. Come on, man. It's Cleveland.
I know.
It's Cleveland.
And also
Cleveland.
Also, the tight ends lost against the Bills, too.
Yes, but Tennessee's better than that. But Tennessee's had some setbacks. But they're better. But Baltimore's playing on a higher level. I think defensively, Baltimore's got the edge. C.J. Mosley's back. Great secondary. And the offensive game is going pretty well. Joe Flacco is having a much better year than he's had previous. Having Michael Crabtree in that offense has made a difference. While Michael Crabtree is not an all-pro wide receiver, he is definitely a very good receiver, very reliable. And can get the job done when needed. So I just think this is a much better Ravens team all around. And I do like Alex Collins at running back. So got to go with the Ravens in this game.
Let's go Ravens. And the biggest game of the week for the NFL, the Kansas City Chiefs at the New England Patriots.
Man, I'm beginning to think every week that the Chiefs play is going to be a big game because everybody's just waiting to see, are these guys for real? Well, Duck does not get any more for real than when you go against the New England Patriots. That is the measuring stick for any team, especially any team that is trying to establish themselves as legit, which is true. Is this Patriots team as strong as they typically are? So far, it doesn't really look like it, but, you know, you can't ever rule out the Patriots. So, man, it's a toss-up. I want to believe in the Chiefs. I'm not really particularly a Patriots fan. However, I just think that the Kansas City Chiefs just have way too much offensive foul power, and much more so than what New England boasts. So I have got to go, and I hope I'm right, with the Kansas City Chiefs in this game.
Yeah, this game is going to be really, really leveled. I think the Patriots might edge it out, and that will definitely hurt the Kansas City a little bit. But we'll see what happens. This could define what the AFC looks like. Well, back-to-back, because I thought the Jacksonville game would be more of a clear indicator, which now we know that Kansas City is better. But now we're looking at the Patriots. I think like the top three teams in the AFC are the Chiefs, Jaguars, and the Patriots. So we'll definitely see a more clear picture this weekend of where the AFC is. And finally, Monday Night Football, the 49ers at the Green Bay Packers.
Well, the 49ers are in just complete disarray right now, to be honest with you. And I just don't think that they have what is needed to beat the Packers. Packers aren't really looking great either, but they are the more experienced team, and they do have everything a little bit more together than what the San Francisco does. So I got to go with the Packers on this one. I don't think it's going to be an entertaining game by any means.
No.
But it's really not. It's lost its luster because the Packers really aren't playing as well as they could. And then, of course, Aaron Rodgers has had some problems with injury. And, of course, San Francisco has really just been hurt hard because of losing Garoppolo. So,
yeah.
It's just it's not going to be entertaining to watch.
It's going to be a very low-key Monday night. Hopefully this is like the worst. Hopefully this is will be like the like hopefully it'll be the last bad game that Monday Night Football has this season, but it is a pretty weird.
Yeah, I hope so, because good Lord, Monday Night Football has been awful.
Might as well just go to bed, you know. Just go to bed. Go to bed. Get say some hours. Well,
I mean, you don't have to worry about taking any sleep aid because all you got to do is turn it on to Monday Night Football and there you go.
If you suffer insomnia, watch that game.
Absolutely.
And finally, one of our people, one of the people that comment on the this cast is asking or said, I need to deal with exercises to reduce weight. I have 262 pounds. I think that's what she said. What would you tell her?
Well, I want you to understand that it's not particularly some specific exercise. It's not particularly some amazing anointed workout that you're going to find. It's going to be the answer or cure-all to what you're trying to do. If you've listened to me before on any of the podcasts when I've talked about fitness or any of the fitness podcasts I've done specifically, one thing I definitely preach in order to achieve weight loss goals is a combination of three areas, success in three areas. That's your workout, of course, your cardio, and then your diet. All three, you have to bust it at. All three, you got to give 150% to get the job done. It's not just do a workout only. It's not just do cardio only. It's not just eat the right things only, because if you only do one of those things, you can only get so far. It's doing the combination that's going to get you over that. It's going to get you to your goal and obviously more. So what I got to tell you is if you don't have a nutritionist, or you do have a nutritionist, get together a solid meal plan, hit the cardio at least 3 to 5 times a week, 20 minutes a session. If you can't do 20 minutes a session right off, just do what you can and gradually work your way up, and then hit the gym 3 to 5 days a week with some weight training. And if you're one of those people who are afraid that you're going to bulk up, which tends to be the case for a lot of folks, I'm going to tell you right now, it's one of the biggest misunderstandings there is. You don't bulk up unless you specifically train for it. You will gain some muscle from doing this. Don't be afraid of muscle. Muscle is great. Muscle actually helps you burn fat. Muscle actually speeds up your metabolism. So don't be afraid of it. So if you're bulking up while you're trying to lose weight, then you need to reevaluate what you're doing somewhere along the line, whether it's the diet, the workouts, so on and so forth. And if you have any questions, please, by all means, contact me. I'd be glad to give you any kind of advice that I can to help you with your goals.
And another person commenting is saying that Texas can beat Bama.
In baseball?
That's what I was thinking, too, but...
Texas can beat Bama. Okay, I'm not going to be a jerk about this. I'm just
no, but that'd be an interesting matchup, though. Very interesting because they did beat Oklahoma, Justin. Oklahoma is one of the top teams.
Well, absolutely. Texas is playing at a much, much better level. They seem to be playing a lot better as a team. They seem to have chemistry now. They seem to be working with all the right parts. Love their quarterback play right now. However, I don't think that they're at quite an elite level yet to beat a top tier team like an Alabama. But with college football, you never know. I'm not trying to take anything away from their win against Oklahoma. That's a rivalry game. Big things can happen. We will know more about Texas as the season goes on. Ask me that question or make that statement a little bit later in the season, and I can tell you if you are on the money or you're reaching.
Well, Texas, let's see their schedule. They play Baylor, Oklahoma State, and West Virginia. The West Virginia match, that's a big one for them. That's for sure a big one.
Absolutely. Right now, I think that West Virginia – is probably the best team in the Big 12. I think Will Grier is the best quarterback in the Big 12 and one of the best quarterbacks in the country right now. You'll see what they're really all about when they finally meet up with Oklahoma. Texas, though, before you get to West Virginia, though, you got to get and take out Oklahoma State, who's still a very good team. So really two important games for Texas to determine just where they are on the college football picture.
And they're ranked number 9 in the AP poll. So you got to win out, and maybe you can face Alabama in the playoffs if they get selected.
Yeah, quite possibly, man. It is still wide open for anybody right now.
It is wide open. A lot of different things that have to come together. A lot of hard games. But the next few weeks on, you know, there's going to be some upsets. There might be the ones that you really predicted are going to make it. But it's very possible two SEC teams in the playoffs. Three, we're acting too much. I don't think that's possible. I think people were saying, no, that's impossible.
It's virtually impossible, man, because people are going to weed themselves out. It would have to be something very unique and very, very crazy.
Yeah,
if LSU allow that State, to happen.
Yeah, I mean, if LSU, like the only, I mean, if it was Georgia and Alabama, I think LSU could have gone, you know, been that third spot. They had to win out or something and then lose in the SEC championship, but then they still get in. I can see that scenario, but you know, they lost. So, and that kind of ruins their chances. They got to get back on like the trail, and they got to play game by game, you know, tackle Georgia, tackle Alabama, and at home. So you just can't complain. It's a fair game. When you're facing the top two teams,
absolutely.
Oh my gosh, they have a great scenario if things go well. But anyways, Justin, how can people reach you with any health questions or even football questions?
Okay, yeah, absolutely, man. Love to talk about both. You can email me at 121training. That's the number 12, one spelled out, training at gmail.com. You can also follow me on social media, Facebook, /121training. Posting a lot of good content there for you to view. Then you can find me on Twitter as well as Instagram with the same handle, at 121training. Instagram is what I visit the most, other than on game day right now. On Twitter, I do a live tweeting feed commenting throughout the Alabama games. So, definitely check me out if you want to see what my thoughts are. Definitely love to interact with anyone on Twitter on game day to get your thoughts and also to have some in-game debate possibly. But, you can reach me at any of those outlets. Matter of fact, if you go on the 121 Training Facebook site, there is a way to contact me via phone as well as, like I said, my email is provided as well.
You know, what I love to do is either have a pregame, but especially a postgame of, like, after each Alabama game, you know, and we'll just, like, talk it out fresh for our memory. That'd be amazing.
It would be amazing this week. Probably not, since we play a late game. So it might have to be one of those good old 2:30 games, which will probably be the next week when we play Tennessee.
I mean, either way, I'm open to like the late games or like the days, but it'd be really awesome, you know, go with Ty after like the Oregon game, fresh, you're emotional, you know, you're feeling, you just want to talk it over, you know?
No, absolutely. The unfortunate thing for me is it's a night game. I got kids, you know, I got a family, so, yeah. You know, being able to do that at night would be kind of difficult. However, I would definitely love the opportunity to talk fresh, like you said, right after a game, to give my honest and true feelings about whatever just happened.
Because you'd be more emotional than today. You know, anyways,
I could be ticked off. I could let my inner Medea come out. You know, it could be crazy, man.
These sportscasts can become a therapy session as well.
It really could, absolutely. Now, I would like to try to possibly do that after the Tennessee game. Let's see how that goes.
Yeah, let's try it out. Sportscast special post game Alabama Tennessee. Post-game series, and we'll see how it goes. But anyways, to do that, please follow us on Periscope. Hit the notification. If you're on YouTube, hit subscribe, like, share it with all your friends and family. And if you're in iTunes, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. And also hit subscribe. You can listen to us or watch us on all the platforms. Well, anyways, Justin Riley, thanks a lot for coming on to the Sportscast. Big sports weekend ahead.
Absolutely, man. Enjoy another phenomenal cast with you. Looking forward to the next one. And as always, I'll be watching the game and listening to the Alabama Football Radio app made by none other than my co-host here, Santiago. And every Alabama fan needs to download this app. If you have not yet done so, you're not a fan, because this is all access to hearing the voice of Alabama Crimson Tide, Eli Gold. And I'm sorry, but as you know, the announcers just aren't cutting it on TV. So it's better to hear Eli. Do yourself a favor. Download the app. Life is better.
Thank you very much. Download the app. Follow us. It's going to be great. Anyways, have a good weekend and roll tide.
Roll tide.